You're listening to the Scarpone's Sound Off Podcast.
Your new found freedom, and hold your head up high. See Okay, let's open up this box of tricks. Oh, there we go. Let's have a look. Oh, now let's have a look. Oh, I'm gonna pull them out here, and there we go, my precious. Yeah, there we go. Let's have a look what we got here. Oh, smell of vinyl. Specials original album. That's good. We've got Specials Import Yugoslavia, Specials Import First Album Spain, Specials Import France. Hello and welcome to the Scapone Sound Off podcast. We are back and it's this one. It's episode 14. It's entitled, Why Have You Got the Same Album 17 Times? What you heard there was me going through my collection of vinyl stuff. I've been collecting since specifically, really, since the Two Tone days. My favourite band of the Specials, of course, and I've got a lot of Special stuff. They're my main band that I collect. I collect a lot of other stuff, but I collect mainly Special stuff from everywhere. And I've got some fantastic items. So, I mean, what is it? What is it about vinyl specifically? I mean, we really did miss vinyl when it died out a little bit in the late 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s and stuff. You know, it was, it's a special thing, isn't it? It's that having, you know, looking at the artwork and, you know, and looking at, you know, just looking at stuff like that, looking at the artwork and on the inside sleeve. And I used to like look at those, especially with the Two Tone records, look at the run out grooves and things like that and the smell and, you know, It's my wife tells me that the collecting of records is, you know, it's primarily a male thing. Women tend not to collect too many things. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. I'm not arguing with her. But yeah, it's a strange one. It really is. I don't know. I've got here. I'm just looking. Yeah, Specials picture disc album. Look, this are Two Tone. These new 40th anniversary vinyls are absolutely fantastic. But what makes it special, you know? CDs are fantastic, I think. They do a great job and things like that. But, you know, is it primarily a little bit too clear-cut? You know, is it too clean? Too clean? I do like a bit of crackle and static, you know. I'm just going through my records here, so excuse me. What we've got here. Oh, I've got an original USA import there. That's great. The re-released USA import. And it's all the same album. This is why the title of the album, the track is there. And there is the... I'm just looking at now. I am looking at my original Specials album. A little bit of sellotape at the top where it came apart. So this is 40... Whoa, 40... Where are we now? 2021. So that's 43, is that right? 42 years old. It's 42 years old. I'm just going to take it out and have a look at the condition. Sleeve is not brilliant. All the stains on the inside sleeve as well. That's just age, by the way. Nothing sinister. But yeah, I'm just taking it out now. Yeah, it's scratched to death. It plays. It plays. I know that for a fact. But it is scratched to death and surface marks everywhere. Now, the thing is, when I was growing up, you know, we didn't have a lot of money and stuff like that, and so it was hard to get a record player for myself at a young age. So when I did finally get one, I didn't know anything about looking after styluses, I didn't know, you know, looking after records themselves. So I can actually tell you that special album there, I once looked, my stylus was knackered, and I actually got a pin. and bent it. I had no idea what I was doing at the time, but it played. And that record has been played on the record player with a pin. Yep, with a pin. So it's very, it's quite a mottled cover. But it's still, you know, you're looking at the pictures and look the way it looks and, you know. Oh, it's got that age, hasn't it? That age. There's a thing about age things. It's like old books as well. It's that sort of same, similar smell. Just something very special. But when you take it out, it's just, you get the CD, it's great and everything. And yeah, but I look at it and I think vinyl is, you know, with the artwork and the music on it and the way it's produced, is an actual work of art. Some of these things should be hanging in museums. In fact, they probably do anyway. And of course, now the modern day stuff is to remaster at half speed, so it gives you even more clarity. So, like modern ways of engineering from original tapes, so they can do a lot more with it. I've got the new Dance Craze one and the Specials ones and Madness and stuff. Hang on, what's in here? I've just got some more Specials covers. Ah, Specials in Japan. Yeah, the Specials Japan Japanese album. No, I love to collect stuff from Japan. Spend more time in it. What's this one? I think it's Germany. I don't know. Specials Germany. Oh, hang on. We've got another one here. Oh, God. Do you know what? There's so many of these Specials albums. They're first, but let me have a look. I think it's just a remaster. It's just a remaster from 2015, I think. I think because there's so many of them. And this one is... somewhere. It's a Specials album. Hang on, I'm going to take it out and have a look. I find it intriguing. I really, oh no, I'm not, it's sealed up. But anyway, yeah, I do. I mean, I don't know what people think, but what is it? You know, do you prefer vinyl? Do you prefer, or do you prefer CD downloads, whatever you want? Like I said, I do think they're too clean, but, you know, I think everything's got its place. I really do. I think digi downloads are there for, I'm just going to put these away. Digi downloads are going to be there for, you know, quick access, really, aren't they? If you're on the road or you want to hear something quickly or and what have you, you know, that's one way of doing it. At least, you know, nowadays, normally when you buy a vinyl, I mean, you get a digital download anyway now. So I'm looking at about 18 or 19 Specials albums all in the same album. Yeah, I am. So I'll tell you what, you know, since it's a Specials album and they are my favourite band, of course, we'll play a track from that very first album. It's a track we've covered, the Scapones have covered. You can get it on now on at the scapones.bandcamp.com. This is Do the Dog. Take it away, chaps.
Donkey,
to the dog.
Don't be a jerk,
to the dog.
What should you work for? Donkey,
to the dog.
Don't be a jerk,
to the dog.
What should you work for?
Northeast Scar Freaks.
You're listening to the Scapones and their Sound Off podcast.
I think the other aspect of record collecting as well is it's obviously got to do with price. Now, price is a very big thing. Price is a very big thing, and it sometimes puts people off. What I have noticed, being a collector over many years and throughout the ska genre stuff, the two-tone genre specifically, is that things have got very more expensive since the reunions of bands like Madness and the Specials and the Selector and things like that. And it's very clever, that people are obviously cashing, and you know what, that's what happens, I suppose. But prices have shot through the roof, and You know, I mean, people, I get a lot of questions because I'm a bit of a collector. People ask me, should I pay this for that? And should I pay for that? You know, it's a tough one, really, because it depends on how much you really want it, doesn't it? You know, if you're looking for a Belgium import or it's just an import in general. If you're like me, if you get an import that you haven't got, it's great to have no matter what. But there comes a point where you're not going to pay ridiculous money. I mean, I've seen some absolutely outlandish stuff for stuff that's quite common to find, especially in the special section. So it's a tough one, really. You know, for the first issue album and stuff like that, you know, you shouldn't really be paying more than, you know, 25 quid, really. Not really. And stuff like that, I wouldn't anyway. Obviously, bootleg albums, again, the specials are well known for the bootleg albums, like Live in Manchester, Rude Boys Out of Jail, the Boston Ballroom one, and places like that. But and those that you would, now there, you'd probably pay £50 for, I reckon. I reckon you would pay about 50 quid for them. I was very lucky to pick up the famous Live at the Moonlight Club bootleg for about a 10 quid in 1983 in a record shop in York where I used to live. It was just a white label, you know, long before it was released on the two-tone label, many 20 years before it was released on the two-tone label. So, you know, things like that. And I've always, and Nightclub in Monkey Men, which is a great bootleg from the Market Hall in Hamburg from 1979, yeah, is another great album. And I got that a record fair. Now, record fairs, I mean, they still have them now. But they're the loss of spark for me a little bit, because I used to go, one of the things I used to do was go to record fairs and buy cassettes. You remember them things, cassettes, those two spool things? Hang on, I'm having a drink. And so, you know, stuff like that. And we used to get all these rare, well, we call them rare, we made them rare by saying they were rare, because live bootleg tapes, and it was great, and I've still got them in my attic now. And since then, they've come out on CD and bootleg CD and stuff like that. So, you know, time catches up with it. But we still got these little things, and these were the first things, and it's great. And again, we used to go and get all the imports, as many imports as we could. Not just from the special and stuff, obviously Madness, the Select, the Two-Tone, the whole lot, and different members. Like, you know, by the 80s, the Two-Tone boom had finished and bands had split. And so we'd buy Funboy 3 things, the Colourfield things, we'd buy the Madness, the Beat, General Public, that sort of thing, you know how it goes. But splinter bands from the two-tone era. So it's, record fairs. I mean, I still go now, but because I've been collecting this long, I've pretty got a lot of everything, and so nothing of major interest, because I have all the major rarities here, and I have my favourite, I'll digress a little bit here, my favourite collector's piece. No, I'm just checking to make sure the wife's not listening. Hang on. No, she's not listening. My favourite piece is a 7-inch record. It's a white label. It's got handwritten on the middle, Jerry's copy, the special aka Gangsters. There you go. And I've double checked and it's Jerry Dammer's handwriting. And it's a mix of Gangsters that was never released. The guitar drops out, it's a very boomy bass. And, yeah, I've got it, and it's if anybody asks and they see her, you can tell the wife it costs 70 quid. I can't go any more than that. It costs a little bit more, shall we say. But there are things that are worth paying for. It depends on how much you really want the business. So basically, what do you put a price on things? I'm not quite sure, really. It all depends on your urge and drive to own it, doesn't it? But, you know, if someone said to me, I've got a French import album, they want £55, I say, no, don't bother, you know, look round. Some great record sort of eBay-type sites like cdnlp.com and what have you, which are based in Europe, and, of course, Discogs and things like that. So you can get pretty much anything you want now. You can put it on a wish list, and if they don't have it online, until it pops up, you know. I found some great stuff on there, on Discogs. Stuff that didn't exist. There was the Specials Mark II from the 90s. There was a It's You picture disc, 12-inch, which I didn't know existed. It just said The Special, not The Specials. I got that, obviously. I had to have it, you know. To be fair, if you are a collector and you collect a certain band or a certain genre, you know, if it's written on an envelope, you'll pay for it. You know what I mean? There's a way it works, you know what I mean? But I also collect stuff like, what's the word, contracts and backstage passes. And let's have a look here, what we've got here. Just opening some stuff here. And I've got the specials there. I've got the specials on American Tour. Well, specials Mark II Tour. I've got the specials 1980 contract when they played in Norway, I think it was. Yeah, I got there. Yeah, it's just it's stuff I can get my hands on instantaneously. Cause I need to sort my record collection out, actually, a bit more, because I'm just looking there. I've got the double more specials 40th anniversary edition. I just wish they'd done something new with it. Do you know what I mean? It's nice to have it like that, but do we really need it like that? What we want is new stuff, rare stuff. That's what we need. Rare stuff. So, yeah, I need to... And actually... The wife makes me keep these away. That's the problem. I'd like to have them on display so I can, because you know, you want to play them now. Got all the record players and the vinyls back again, in big form, isn't it? You know what I mean? The everything's in vinyl now. And one of the reasons the Scapones have, we had Rue Boy Rue Girl, the record we released out at Christmas on vinyl. The reason it's not here yet, even as we head towards March, is because all the big major companies. I've been trying to think on the feet during the COVID period. All the big record companies like Universal and BMG and places like that, Sony and that. And so basically what they're doing is they've flooded the market. A lot of vinyl is done in Europe, always has been. It's cheaper and it's good quality. So what's happened is these big companies have dawned on the fact that vinyl's going to be huge again and it's really taking off. And... You know, so we put in a record to get printed, like Rude Boy, Rude Girl, for instance, which isn't here yet, but we've been told beginning of April, 4 months after it was released. So yeah, you know, and then what happens is these big companies have cottoned on, swamped orders across Europe to all the production plants with their big artists, you know, fucking James Arthur and all, you know, crap like that, and. So we get pushed further down the queue because obviously these are big major conglomerate orders and it's a bit of a shitter, but there's nothing much more we can do about that, to be fair. But you know, we will get done and we will receive it. But it's also quite refreshing to know that vinyl is making that much of a resurge. You know, and like I say, there's just something very special about holding that vinyl, isn't there? You know, let's see what else I've got here. Let's have a look. Ah, yeah. Well, there's a lot of 40th anniversary releases, of course, with the Two Tone celebrating its 40 years and stuff. And excuse me, one of the bands that's done best out of it, of course, was Madness. I think they nailed the 40th anniversary celebrations absolutely perfect. So do you know what? Yeah, what I've come across here is the very much wonderful double pack. Again, half speed mastering, but a double gatefold pack of Nightboat Takara, the Work, Rest and Play EP. It looks fantastic. I'm just having a look at the record because, do you know what? I don't think I've had it out of the packet. Oh, it's fallen out. Oh, bloody hell. There we go. Oh, it's fallen out. It was a clip. You go, oh, don't break. Don't break. Yeah, it's, and it says, funny enough, it says BMG on it. It says, Laurie E. Curver Pusher. Interesting. Don't know what that means on the run out there, but some man's always used to have really good run out grooves, didn't they? Good message on the run out grooves. I might get some of them out a minute and have a look at them. What's on the other one? See if there's another run out in it. Because the run out grooves leave little messages, don't they? This one on the other Madness one says, same again. Laurie E. Curve Pusher. I don't know what that means, but I'm sure Madness know what it means, so we'll leave it at that. But so tell you what, we'll listen to a bit of Madness, shall we? Let's have a bit of vintage Madness, and we will listen to this. Not My Bunch of Caro, but we're going to listen to Deceives the Eye, which I absolutely love. This is Madness. Take it away, chaps.
In the earliest days of my shoplifting career, you could safely say I was filled with fear. With nail-biting work from the very start, but several good successes soon gave me heart. After a while I could pick anything, some shirts, some trousers and a few LPs. No one ever stopped me, they didn't seem to care. It sometimes seemed to me there was no one there. Then a fine summer's day, my mate and me set off down the West End on our usual spree. Things were as normal for an hour or so. Then my nimble hands were
grabbed my jacket, your the other grabbed my boat, so we caught you at last. One said with joy, but after you sometime my life in goodbye. Remembered my common sense, they captured me red-handed with evidence. If I go to the manager and say I'm sorry, maybe he'll forgive me for my youthful body.
But what will my social worker say if I don't come home today? He'll give me a clown. What if they don't let me out? I told them I'm on my own. Don't they understand? I'm from a broken home.
I'll tell him I'm the product of a broken home, and I always went out on my own. Was it too late to say I'd pay? And I'll never steal again till the end of my days, because I had no friends to call as such. Money and possessions, I did not have much, so I started to steal in order to get by. The quickness of the hand, this is the eye. This is the eye.
Like your ska music? Then listen to the Scarpones Sound Off podcast. Pick it up.
Ah, lovely bit of madness there. I mean, like I mentioned, their madness had a lot, used to inscribe lots of messages into the run-out grooves of their vinyl, which I always thought, every time we bought a Madness single, we would always check it to see what it said. I don't know if anybody recalls the famous Porky Studios, cutting studios for vinyl, and it was always a Porky Prime cut in the written in the run-out grooves, wasn't it? That's what it was. So that, you know, we did that actually. I think on the first Capone's album, Cradle of Grave, we wrote something. And you know what? I can't remember what it is. Both sides, too differently. I think it was, I don't know what it is. I'm not even going to say it. I think it was one line each side from the track Mask of Anarchy we'd done. Check it out if you've got it. Check it out. I should really check it out. You know what it is. So yeah. So anyway, obviously we've been on about vinyl having a major comeback, and these two-tone 40th anniversary releases have really taken that to heart, and have knocked out some pretty good stuff. And I think it's in May that we see a brand new Selector 40th anniversary pack put together by Chrysalis, and I think Neil Davis, the original Selector guy, has been involved. And it's a cracking pack. It really is. There's so many different versions that you can buy, but it's half speed remastered, Too Much Pressure on a clear vinyl. I think one's on normal vinyl, I think one's on a clear vinyl. There's also a 7-inch single, and there's 3 CDs, a booklet. There's absolutely tons of stuff. And I think it's going about £30 for the top packet, which is not too bad by today's standards, really. And when you think an average vinyl album now costs roughly £20. So £30 for all that is great. And it's also got unreleased first time ever. Now, this is what we're looking for as a collector, is rare stuff, and they're releasing for the first time all the tracks from the Selector recorded live at Tiffany's and Coventry at the end of the Two Tone Tour. The only one time that's ever been heard was one track, that's Carry Go Brinkham, the live version that was on the back of 3 Minute Hero, I think it was. Check that out. It's going to be great. It's all over the internet, and you can buy it from the Two Tone store via Townsend Music, I think it is. So that's the Selector's 40th anniversary. Well, it's a bit late now, isn't it, I suppose, but it's all part of the celebrations of the 40, I suppose. So I've pre-ordered that, obviously. It's a funny thing, because my wife says it's a male thing, this collecting stuff. And I don't know what it is, but I mean, you know, it's just, you know, you open your unit or whatever you stack it, and you just look at these vinyls, take them out, examine the vinyl, read the out. Some, if you're lucky, some of the inner sleeves have got typing up. That's why I like the Japanese imports, because they do have, especially on albums, they have I mean, it's all written in Japanese, but some of the words are great. They're completely wrong, because you see a few bits of English and they're completely wrong. That's what I love about it. It's fantastic. But it's a real, real novelty thing to have, you know. And the Japanese stuff can be quite expensive for the two-tone records and stuff. So, but, you know, I mean, I think 25 quid a single, really, is probably average, and about 30 for an album, maybe a bit more. You know, that's not a bad price to pay, to be fair. Obviously, the bootlegs. Specials live at the Lyceum on vinyl, live in Manchester. There's a few Madness ones. They're all expensive. I've seen Live at the Lyceum actually online the other day for 107 quid. So a lot of money. You shouldn't have to pay that, really. You know what I mean? It's a ridiculous amount of money. You wouldn't pay more than 50, 60 quid for that, to be fair, I think, in modern day terms. But you know what it's like? If you have to have something in your collection, then you have to have it. That's what happens. And I'm a bit like that myself. It's also been good having record store days as well, because that's really helped bring vinyl back to the front of people's imaginations and attention. Record store day has been great. It's been great for releases to do with Two Tone and things like that, because we've had the specials and Sophia Khan and the Ten Commandments. We've had Rat Race and Socket Tune JB dubs. We've also had the 10-inch dub recently of Gangsters and Too Much Too Young and Why, which for me was brilliant, because that version of Too Much Too Young I've been waiting for ages, and I played that on a podcast not so long back. It's the whole thing. And even now, you know, we're all in of a certain age, let's say over the age of 50 roughly, and if you're not, you're very lucky. And to still have that passion to hold this vinyl, you know, it's fantastic. And I'll tell you what, no, let's have some more music. I'll come back to this next bit, because it's a new start. We've just been on about the Selectors' 40th anniversary reissue of Too Much Pressure album. So here is their 12-inch version of Train to Scarville. This is a belter. Take it away, chaps.
This train is bound for Scarville. All aboard! We'll be right back.
There you go, that was a selector there. So don't forget, get that 40th anniversary issue of Too Much Pressure with the three CDs, the vinyl, and the live tracks. And it's going to be cracking. It really is going to be absolutely cracking. One of the other surprise things that came out, mainly in an 80s thing, really, wasn't early 80s, I don't think. Well, maybe I could be wrong. It depends on which band you follow and what band you collect, I suppose. Was picture discs. Yes, picture discs. Vinyl picture discs. Says what it is. It was a vinyl record, completely printed on A and B side with pictures and stuff like that. The only problem with the picture discs was the quality of the recording. You know, if you play a picture disc, it's noise before it starts. It's pretty much all the way through. The sound quality is not very good at all, and that remains the case even in this day and age. You know, I think it really started. Madness were absolutely grabbed it by the hands, by the horns, so to say. They really issued pretty much a lot from not so much the early days, although they did. I do have an orange vinyl, My Girl, but they did, as the time went on, they did release picture discs for every single, which I have gotten in shapes and different sizes, you know, and stuff like that. And these were always great to find. And we had a big record shop in York called Track Records, where I used to live. And I didn't usually even track records. God, I wish I did. You know, you would see 12-inch picture discs on the wall, which would be a live concert one side, interviews on the other. You know, you were lucky to find these sort of things. They were absolutely brilliant, quite rare and stuff. And I think they're still about. I mean, the Scapones did, with there's only two in existence, picture disc. These contain three tracks, but the more novelty factor of it is the fact it's only got recordings on one side, it's blank on the other. We were going to try and do some for a full release, but it didn't work out that way. It was very expensive, and we didn't want to pass the cost on to the consumer, as they say. But picture discs are great. I mean, the Fun Boy 3, of course, which was Terry Neville and Limbaugh from The Specials, also knocked out lots of picture discs for all their singles. I forgot them as well. And it's just another novelty. I mean, people say it's a bit of a cash-in possibly as well, maybe, but you know what, who cares? It's great to have, that's what I say. The quality is crap. You know, the quality is crap, there's no denying it. And even today, like I've just said, it is the same. And but you know, I mean, again, they were very, very collectible. Bad Manners were very good at doing shit, which is obviously normally Buster's Head is a great special brew one. I think it's Got No Brains as well, that's another good one. But yeah, you know, it's they're very, very collectible, and these can go for silly price. I've seen a Madness one. I think it was the Yesterday's Men, which is a square one, with My Girl Live on it, an extended version of Yesterday's Men. Well, that's another thing. But sometimes you've got 12-inch mixes on these discs, which were different, which is also, of course, a wonderful collector's piece. A very clever way of doing stuff is putting extended version in brackets, because you think, ooh, you know what I mean? And people still do it now, you know. And so it's obviously, you know, a thing that's not died out. But the Madness one was going for size 500 quid, you know, it's ridiculous. And there's people, but you know, I follow these expensive ones on eBay, you know. And there's one of the most sought after things as well on the two-tone label, the blue plastic labels for things like the Prince and things like that on two-tone. And you know, there was one on eBay commanding £1,000. You know, don't pay this sort of money, just let it go. You'll find one, you look around, you know, and you'll keep looking around, you will get one for a decent price. You know, I wouldn't be paying more than 30 or 40 quid, to be honest with you, for the Blue Prince one or anything like that. It's just, you know, it's, unless, again, so it's easy for me to say, but if you're desperate and you want it, well, who's me? You know, nobody else can stop you, can they? You know, if you've got the money, get it, maybe. I don't know, that's probably my philosophy. But like I said, it all depends on how much you need it, really. But yeah, Record Collector magazine as well, that's another great source of information. Always has been over the years. It has great features as well. Done a lot of two-tone features in the past. And it gives you a sort of a present-day money guide to what things are worth. And now they're common-sense approaches as well. So if you are doing that, go onto Record Collector and type in what you're looking for. I think you can do it online now, and it will give you a price for what you know you pay by modern-day standards, I assume. But things like £1,000 for a single and £500 for a picture disc and stuff is just complete rubbish, you know what I mean? There was, I think I got a Michael Caine double pack with a Michael Caine picture disc, and I can't remember, it might have been a Sun the Rain, the other one, I think. Well, I could be wrong, Madness fans will tell me anyway. But, you know, this is the joy of it, isn't it? Collecting bits and bats you don't know what it's going to be, and you know, and I used to remember opening magazines and thinking, oh, and you'd read about the release and say available on limited edition pictures, oh my god, limited edition. So we'd rush out to the shop, we'd go straight down the release day, we'd buy the 7-inch, we'd buy 12-inch, and we'd buy the picture disc. And I pretty much tend to do that even nowadays. You know what I mean? I think when Encore, the special album, came out, I've got every version of that now, including the signed CDs that the band were putting together as part of the release. So yeah, so it's but you know, I mean, if you collect and stuff like that, then you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? Yes, you do. So but the other thing as well, of course, don't forget, picture discs. We've talked about picture discs, there's albums, there's 7-inches, and there's also, of course, 12-inches, of course, 12-inch versions, 12-inch records. And I've got a box here, let's just have a look. Well, what have we got in here? We've got the Scapone's 12-inch picture disc, I've got a Bomb Scared dual album. I've got any 12-inches in here, apparently. Cradle of the Grave, I've got, this is just a loose box I've got. Oh, there's the Specials double encore album. Another Cradle of the Grave. Why, I've got two on them now. Detroit Rhythm Crew. Yeah, great band. No, I haven't got anything in there, their albums. But the one good thing about 12 inches, again, was the fact you got extended versions and demos. And Madness were great. Madness were great with the 12 inches. Superb. Always different. And with extra tracks on and stuff like that. It was a great thing to have. And the 7-year scratch came out. I remember the 7-year scratch. I'm going to play that in a minute, actually. Oh, no. No, we've done Madness, haven't we? Or should I play it? Boom. Yeah, I'm going to play the 7-year scratch. I'm going to play it. Because it's a great thing. And I can't remember which 12-inch it was on. It was one of the later ones. It might have been... No, I dare say it without really looking, because I can't get access to everything at the moment. But... yeah. But again, 12-inch are great. You know, again, you know, a huge thing they were. And you know, like an album size thing, it's just great to have. I mean, even now, you know, if you're a collector, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. If you love your vinyl, you know exactly what I'm talking about. At the moment, as well, I found interesting is that a lot of these new re-releases and stuff are being released in this heavyweight vinyl, which doesn't really mean anything, to be fair. You know, it's all in the processing of recording from tapes, the original tapes, to digital. That makes all the difference. But like I say, if you're a collector, like I have, you buy the heavyweight, you buy the normal, you buy the re-release, you buy whatever comes out, because, I don't know, you're just driven to do it, you're just driven to do it. And as I said before, the wife says, it's definitely a man thing, definitely a man thing. But then again, do they collect shoes? You see, they're here. We all have our little quirks, don't we? But, right, so I'll tell you what, I did say we'll play the Madness 7-year scratch. We've already played Manchester CZI, but the 7-year scratch is fantastic. And it's often played by DJs and stuff at Sky events and stuff. Here it is. This is Madness, the 7-year scratch, on vinyl! We'll be right back.
on you.
Themselves.
You've got the Scapones Sound Off podcast.
I think I've always been interested in. I've always had an interest in music since an early age. It's not always the best music, but you've got to start somewhere, haven't you? And I think mine started with a bit of glam rocky, sort of the Bay City Rollers period. But I did like Elvis, you know, basically because that's where I grew up with him, with mum and dad. But, you know, but I wanted things for myself, and I bought. And the Bay City Rollers, Once Upon a Star. You remember the art? I don't know if anybody saw that, but you could pull out different... There was like cardboard inserts that you could pull out, and each cardboard insert had a member of the band on it. It's quite a good album. My favourite track in there is Let's Go. And that was sort of my introduction to vinyl collecting. I still got it. And, you know, so... Yeah, you've got to start somewhere, I suppose. That's how I look at it. So Once Upon a Star, and then the next vinyl album I bought, I bought little things throughout the over the next 2 or 3 years from there. I can't remember what year it was now, 76 possibly. And after that, I bought things like, what did I buy? Oh, it was stuff by Kate Bush, you know, Man with a Child in His Eyes and stuff like that, just because... I quite liked it at the time. I didn't know what I was really listening. I didn't know what I was doing, but I just liked music and collecting this vinyl. We had a record player at home. It was an old phonogram. It was an old phonogram, big long thing, and it had knobs on for the radio at the front. It was like an old 1940s war cabinet thing, you know what I mean? But it had that on there. And at the end, there was a record player. Again, it's the whole process, isn't it? You know, it's one of those where you could put a stack of 7 inches on the top and it would hold it. It would play the record underneath. Then the arm would come out and then the next one would drop down and then it would play again. You know, that was mechanical genius, I thought that was. But, yeah, so the stuff... So, you know, I used to listen to stuff on there. And then I bought Grease. I went to see Grease when it first came out. Was that 78, possibly? I'm not quite sure. I think it's 77, 78. And I bought the double album, and I bought that when I was in Manchester visiting family. And again, I played it to death, And I think it's just getting into music and listening to it and what, you know, but I was so excited by it. And when I look back, you know, I think music's always been in the family because from a personal view, you know, my granddad was a drummer, and my auntie was a singer in the clubs together, with other, and I saw them live a couple of times, at least like the British Legion or something like that. So it's always been there. And, so obviously the interest in music in general is in the blood. But of course, it was the two-tone boom when I went, right, this is going to be serious stuff. Do you know what I mean? And Gangsters cost me 45 pence. I think it was 45 pence from Red Rhino Records, which was quite a famous shop and label, record label, in the late 70s. Cost about 45 pence, still got it upstairs. And unfortunately, I have about 10 versions of that as well. And, you know, I tend to like, when you see things on eBay, like... like, you know, Ruby Red version, and you look at the picture and they've got the record held up and there's a light behind it and it looks red as it shines through. Well, that's nothing special. It is nothing special. If you've bought one, like I have, it's nothing special, but you think you need to have it. That's the problem. You think you need to have it. So I bought it and it's just basically black. The light underneath it, it shines through red. It's nothing special. It's just probably running out of black vinyl and stuff, you know, comes to the end of the print, but and stuff like that. So again, I've got in Gangsters and, you know, different, you know, run where it finishes on the record and stops and then fades out, and of course I've got the my most treasured copy is the test pressing that was never been released, the Gangsters test, you know, that is yeah, I guard that with my life. The wife doesn't know which one it is. So yeah, you know, that's how I got into collecting vinyl and stuff like that. And I sort of sought vinyl out more than anything else over the late 80s and into the 90s, you know, record fairs and things like that, which I've just talked about previously, where we got our rare cassettes and stuff and imported singles and stuff from. And it's a little bit easy nowadays for collecting as well, because you've got places online specifically for it, like Discogs and Isle.com or Eel.com. I bought a few things off them before, and CDNLP.com, where you can get some great foreign imports from. Yeah, it really is just simply a wonderful thing. And that includes your picture disc, it includes your 7-inch, it includes your amps. And what I was on about the two-tone people embracing picture discs and stuff, and the Specials sort of came in just as they split up with the 12-inch version of Ghost Town. You know, that was their contribution. But, of course, the Special AKA took, after the Specials, took control of that and released everything in a similar, with a 12-inch format and even picture disc. You know, there was a picture disc for the Girlfriend album, for the Girlfriend single, should I say, Racist Friend. There was a 10-inch, and a 10-inch version of War Crimes. And I don't think the boiler came out in anything else. And stuff like that. So, you know, but not as much as the Madness and stuff. The Selector did a 12-inch of The Whisper and Trent and Scarville. Trent and Scarville on the 12-inch is absolutely phenomenal. And I've been lucky to see that played live. I once went to see... I think it was one back, going back to the original two-tone central fundraiser before the museum even opened in Coventry, and we were helping to raise funds, and Charlie H. Benbridge and Neil Davis and Roddy and Gappa Hendrix were all on stage, and Neil played this like 9-minute version. blew my socks off, and it just reminded me of the Selector 12-inch. It was absolutely flipping awesome. I mean, I don't think CDs will die out. I don't think they will. They might. I don't think it's on the wane as much as people think it is, because they're still being reproduced and advertising and stuff. And the record companies, if you look at their pages and stuff, have gone that way as well. I don't think they should. They are cheaper, and like I say, although you do get a fantastic quality. For me, a little bit too clean. And that's the same with digi-downloads. But, you know, they are accessible and quick and accessible. Vinyl takes a little bit longer because it is a work of art. And we've done recently our... what we've done on vinyl? We've done... The Scapones did the first single, Cradle of Grave, on vinyl, which was backed with Big Fat Panda. And then there was... what came after that? The 12-inch, of course, the two 12-inch that in existence. But then, of course, there was the we did our album on vinyl, fantastically done by Cram Reproduction. And then there was, until we had our first American single last year, thank courtesy to Abbey Productions, Eric Abbey and the Detroit Rhythm Crew, who put Girl Inside out in America, and looking on this classic Jamaican. It looked classic. Great sleeve, great label, and everything looks fantastic, like an old-school thing. With the Detroit Rhythm Crew on one side, and we've repaired that now, and of course our brand new single, which you heard at the beginning of this programme, which is The Eyes of a Child, go buy it when it comes out, is coming out on red vinyl, because I know people are loving vinyl, and red colour vinyls, anything like that, you know, because people really, collectors really just love, you know, really just love, and there is something mystical almost about vinyl, I think, as well, because I'll probably go off on a few tangents here, so ignore me. But, you know, I think, I mean, I've DJed a couple of events for the Livingston Soul and Scar Club in Scotland. And when you're up there, the wheels of steel, you know, just mess around with your vinyl and get it in and spin it and get it into place. And there is something very special about it. And I could never, it's like when someone says, why are you into two-tone or why are you into ska music or whatever? And you can't really tell them. You can't, you know, it's more to it than just, well, I like the specials, or I like the Scatlights, or I like Prince Buster, whatever. There's a lot more to it, you know. It's a very much a spiritual thing. And I think vinyl's the same. The vinyl thing, again, I can't describe it. There's just something about it. You know, having this huge square, round thing in your hands to look at and, you know, admire. And it's like buying a painting or buying a canvas or buying, you know, whatever. It's, you know, something like that. And I find it intriguing, I really do. I don't know what your thoughts are and stuff like this and stuff. I'm sure that those of there are collectors of you that out there that are collectors will understand exactly what I'm talking about, you know. And we've also, oh, by the way, the Scapones have also, Rude Boy Rude Girl was our single that came out in December. Yeah, I'm sure a few of you know that. Well, we've got vinyl coming for that. It's going to be 4 months a bit late. Again, this is down to the massive demand on the vinyl publishing, reproduction companies, forced by the big boys, you know. We've been knocking out vinyl this time, and all of a sudden they discovered, oh, look, there's a market for it, you know, and we suffer as a result for it, unfortunately. But, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles, I suppose they say. But as long as we get it, you know, it'll be fine. But, yeah, it is one of those special things. And I'm so glad that the genre that I listen to really is a vinyl-based genre, really. It does thrive and it does knock out. I mean, the artwork, especially, say a two-tone label, the artwork itself is superb and has to be seen on a large scale. You know what I mean? On an album-sized thing, it really has to be seen. It's designed for it. You know, you can cram it down to a CD cover, and it's nice, and you can flick through the covers and stuff, but you put it back in its case, and then you probably don't even look at it again. I'm still looking at, like I said, tonight, you've heard me sift through a few things that I've had in there for 40-odd years, and I still do it. Every so often, I go upstairs, and the wife will be, because the wife's working on a university degree, and she does a lot of studying upstairs, and I'll go upstairs, and if I'm bored, and I'll open my drawer, and I'll go through it, and then I'll find these things, and then I can't help but run away with useless bits of information. So basically, I'm showing her an album, and I'm telling her about it, and I'm saying, see this, I've got this here, do you see that, this happened on here, this, and this is this, you know. By this time, I pinned her into the corner of the bedroom, and she's looking terrified, you know what I mean? I'm sure you've all been there. Maybe it's just me, I'm not quite certain. So yeah, let's have a bit more music, shall we? Let's have a bit more music. I think we've had a lot of madness. There's no more madness. We've had the Selector, we've had the specials. Well, Kings, and I mean this, Kings of the 12-inch version. This is what I'm saying. Kings of the 12-inch vinyl with a beat. They knocked out some absolute fantastic rhythms and dubs and stuff like that, and we're going to hear one now, which is one of my favourite beat tracks. This is a 12-inch version of Doors of Your Heart. This is The Beat. Thank you.
Come on.
your ska music.
Then listen to the Scarpones Sound Off podcast.
Pick it up.
There you go, there you go. That was the Beats and Doors of Your Heart, a juicy, juicy 12-inch version. Juicy, juicy 12-inch version. We've got a few dubs, you know. I think we'll play out with one. I think we might play out with one. It's not on 12-inch vinyl, but it could well be. It could be a 12-inch version, couldn't it? You know what I mean? Might play that out at the end of the track. Do you know what? It's so distracting trying to do stuff at home because you think you're in a quiet place. And then you got this. Have you heard this? I mean, I don't know if you can hear it. That's my bulldog, yeah. She's loud as hell. She really is. And she's not helping the situation. But, yeah, so I'll play one at the end. But if you're, you know, there, I was saying that there's a lot of things online now where you can buy stuff. But Discogs.com seems to be the place where everybody's going now. And getting very good value for money stuff. And that's probably... One of the warming things, I think, has been the way people have come back to collecting. Again, mainly men. Okay, fair enough. The ladies who are into ska collect their badges and have nice clothes. We collect vinyl. But a lot of men have come back into the scene. They're in a position where now the kids have grown up. They're not tied to the parental responsibility as much. They have money in their pockets and they want money. They've got money to spend, basically. And it's a lot of people now are back into collecting vinyl big time. I've noticed people who've lost collections and stuff like that and have saying, you know, I've just bought this, rebought this back. And they have excitement in doing so. I'm not sure whether it's a sort of a, you know, I don't know. It's, I don't want to sound patronised or anything, but, you know, like a middle-aged crisis sort of thing. People do have them and it happens. But, I mean, I don't think it's that. I think people are generally excited by it, you know. They've got time to revisit, you know, their life. They've brought up the kids and stuff and they've got a chance to look, to not look back, but look, well, you know, find the time and the brain has a bit of space. And, oh, you know, you're used to like vinyl. So you go that way out, I think. And it's great to see people doing that. People sharing the enthusiasm online, and there's a few pages on Facebook now where I think it's £1 for a vinyl and stuff, where you can bid on, you know, you can get a really good albums for £1, you know, if you're lucky, and they're quite cheap as well. So that's £1 for a vinyl. Check that out on Facebook. I've got a lot of DJ mates. Miggy up in Scotland, he's got a cracking collection, mainly he's got a mixture of everything, of course, of all genre, different styles of ska and stuff, but he does love his authentic ska and stuff like that and reggae, and he's playing he's trying to keep his prices down. And again, Miggy's not one to be fooled, and he does really well by finding really good rare records and not paying stupid prices. You know, we've talked, and he sent me pictures of people paying £1,000 for a single and stuff, and you know, and he's picked it up maybe for £40, which is about right, really. One of the other things to do as well is if you're into DJing or you're collecting again and you want to do something really interesting, is make your own dub plate. I know they're quite easy to do. The grub costs about £25, and there's a place in London called Vinyl Carves, which Miggy got me onto actually. And you can have artwork, you can have label work done, you can have a colour sleeve if you want it. You've got to pay for it, obviously. But you can just send the music down. So I do have singles here, which are the specials on one side and a Scarpone's track on another, you know, for DJing and stuff like that. And what have you. So yeah, I like that idea that you know, one of the good things about modern age stuff is that's what the sort of thing you can do, is make your own and create your own records. You know, you can, they do 12 inches I think as well. So yeah, I mean, it might be something, you know, we look into doing. I mean, I know the Scarpones are actually going to do we're thinking of taking about 7 tracks from Cradle to Grave, and we're going to make them because it's our 8th anniversary this year. We have been functioning for 8 years. 8 years! And it's been hell of a ride. We've done some things in that time. And, you know, and so these tracks from Cradle to Grave, we're going to double them up, I think, and maybe like a 8th anniversary special, you know. And we're looking to put them out on vinyl. And so, you know... Because that's how it should be. Things like that, dub and rich sounds, should all be whacked out on vinyl, I think, you know. But that's by the by, you know, that's by the by. But yeah, but these vinyl carvers are great things to do, you know. And I'm sure there's other companies out there that do it, but I've used vinyl carvers and the service is really good. And I'm going to use them again. But
So they're based in London. So yeah, create your own dub plate. You know, if especially if you're a DJ and you're getting back into vinyl collecting and you want a few 7 inches that are like the old Jamaican ones where they would fight over the rarest ones and try to get the best mixes and rarest mix so nobody else would have it. You know, you could do your own. You could also do your own, make your own rare record, I suppose, and stuff like that. So yeah, it's really good, you know. And you know, and one of the early ones, I think, was the Specials with, I think it was Guinness Symphony one side, and I can't remember what was on the other side, I'm sure it was, but that was a rare live track, 7-inch single. So there's all sorts of weird stuff like this, and they pop up all the time, and at the moment, you've got to be very careful of fakes, basically. I've noticed on eBay, there's been a lot of these so-called stamp sleeves for the original Gangsters single, the ones that the band had 1,000 singles, so they hand stamped them with the Special AK on top and then Versus the Selector at the bottom. And these are rare, and they command some serious money at times, you know. And they were done before Chrysalis released the track, and before, you know, the two-tone man became on the sleeves. I think and as a result, people, because things have got better to copy things nowadays and use these vinyl carving services where you can create your own dub plate, people have been reproducing these things. And the worst thing is, even though, you know, they've sort of got the font right on the stamp, it's complete, you can tell it's brand new. You know, someone sent me, so I've got this, and I'm saying, you've got a fake, mate, you've got a fake, you can spot my mile off. And and they've been charging 40-50 quid, sometimes more, for it, and it's bullshit. And you know, it just isn't fair, you know. And people think they're getting a rare record, you know. No, you're not, mate, you know, you're not at all, you know. So you just gotta be careful, and Jamaican dub plates, especially passed off as originals, you know, like Studio One on Coxone, Dodd, and things like that, and Treasure Island and stuff. And some of these are faked completely, with fake labels and everything. You know, you just got to be very careful. But they do charge a lot of money. And the problem with the booming vinyl and the collecting the vinyl, and especially early reggae stuff and modern and skinhead reggae stuff, is that they know people out there looking for these records, so they will buy. They will, at some point, they will charge you £200 for £300 or £400 a single, because if it's rarity that they've created, and you will pay it. And they will, you know, if they sell one, then they're laughing because it's cost them 20 quid to make. So you just gotta be careful, especially if you're on eBay and stuff like that. It's not so bad on places like Discogs and al.com and cdlp.com, because just a bit more reputable site, I would say. You know, and it's easy to get your money back if they've picked up a fake, and you can get your money back. So just be careful if you're collecting vinyl. Just be careful, especially if you're getting it off eBay. Just take the time out to do a little bit of research. Go through the Record Collector magazine website as well, recordcollector.com, and you check it out for yourself. You know what I mean? It's very vitally important that you don't get ripped off. You know, it's like the Scapone Sound Off podcast really are just about wittering on, really, and I pretty much wittered on all night about my love for vinyl and talking and random and stuff like that. But, you know, I hope it's sort of, you know, if you're out there listening to this, then you know exactly what I'm talking about and how it feels, you know, to be a vinyl collector. And the fact that it's come back into bloom, it's a wonderful thing. Don't forget, we do have the Rude Boy Rude Girl single coming out, it was out in December, but the vinyl will be here shortly. Four months, I ask you. Bloody Universal, bloody BMG. And and then we've got this wonderful red vinyl for the Eyes of a Child, the brand new single, which you heard at the beginning of the show. And of the podcast, should I say. It's not a show. it's wonderful. And and it's, like I said, it's an aesthetic thing, isn't it? It's about holding this vinyl in your hand. And then, if you're like me, you smell it. Don't ask me why. But, you know, that's what I'm going to do. So we're looking forward to get that as well. So we'll have two singles there for sale. And a lot of bands are pumping things out on vinyl now, you know, there's albums and what have you. And so I think the future, I don't think vinyl will ever go. I don't think it ever did go. I think it definitely dropped. It dropped a little bit, especially with the surge in CDs and stuff like that, because that was all new, wasn't it? And stuff like that. Then people realised what they missed, you know, and then DJs come back in the scene and want to play vinyl and stuff like that. So it all takes shape again, you know. And off we go, and round we go. You know, like the same things come round in circles, and here we are again with the vinyl circle, I think. And long may it continue. Well, this has been the Scapones Sound Off Podcast, episode 14. Why have you got 17 versions of the same album? Well, not precisely that, but you get the gist. The next one might have some very big international guests on. Yeah, I'm not saying anymore. You have to keep your eyes peeled, won't you? But thanks for joining the show. It's not a show, it's a podcast. A podcast! Gosh, I'm like Alan Partridge when I do that. Podcast! But, yes, so happy vinyl collecting. And I hope you, but like I say, you know, take your time. Don't get caught by scammers and fraudsters and stuff like that. Get to our.com, get to Discogs and CDNLP.com. They're the best places I find. And some time Pop Psych as well. Pop Psych, P-O-P-S-I-K-E. They can be quite good. Yeah, so we're going to close the show this evening with Scapones Dub. We did... Midnight Ravers, which is an old Bob Marley song, which we two-toned up, and for the One Heart album, the Specialized Projects tribute to Bob Marley, which is going back 2 or 3 years now, 3 or 4 years maybe. And this is it. This is the Tinkerman dub of Midnight Ravers. This has been the Scapone Sound Off podcast, and we'll see you next time. Catch you later. Ta-ra now. Bye bye.
For the oppressed people, in a real pandemic. In meditation, from the start praying.
The dressed in the same pollution. Their mind is confused with confusion. With the problems, there's no solution. Here comes the midnight rivers. Please don't let me
is the best music for the human being. The people will play the music, that vibe for the oppressed people in a real banner. It defends the oppressed people for showing them freedom.
It comes the musicals that we, everybody's a do everything. We'll be right back.
same pollution.
In the same pollution.
Their mind is confused with confusion. With the problems, there's no solution.
Solution.
Here comes the man.
Is the best music for the human being.